Okay, let's get cracking on again. Welcome back to a new lecture in F2B Learning and Data. And as you can see, we'll take it steady and get back to our recommender systems and try to learn a little bit more about them. And in particular, we'll try to learn about how to use similarities as well as dissimilarities, and maybe we'll try to take a slightly more practical tack. So I'm hoping my technology will not let me down and I'll be able to swap to a MATLAB window where I can basically do some little experiments. Okay, have you got any questions regarding what we did in the first lecture, or the general course structure, or anything you would like to bring up? I mean, of course, you are welcome to bring up things in the tutorials, but if there are issues that are of general interest, like, you know, we've never heard about Euclidean distance in our whole life, and, you know, it's something I need to do something more about, then please let me know. And if appropriate, we'll deal them either individually or in the whole class. Okay, back to the manga guide to databases, which I trust you've all purchased now. By the way, the coursework involves a write-up about the manga guide on databases, so I suggest you get your copies, moderately priced. The problem is still the same, okay? We are looking in the domain of e-commerce, if we want to say, or web data, because that's a massive source of data, but a lot of the things I'm going to say are essentially literally translatable into another domain. So, you know, if we are thinking about trying to recommend, say, a cure for a particular patient with a certain molecular profile, we've done some scanning, found out how the gene expression of this patient is. We have a large number of examples of patients that have responded to certain cures in certain ways. Again, we may want to base our prognosis or our cure on this type of consideration, so trying to identify which other patients which were very similar to this patient responded in a similar way, or in a positive way, presumably, to a certain cure, and draw inspiration from that. So it's another recommender system, which is in a completely different type of application domain. But the web is nice because I guess you all like computers, otherwise you wouldn't be here, and I guess you know you all are familiar with this type of example more than you would be with molecular genomic data, for example. So what are we going to talk about? So there will be a little bit of recap on the dreadful films that we looked at last week. And maybe I'll show you, basically, if you open a MATLAB window, what sort of calculations you can do and how you can work out explicitly some of these results without just looking at them on the slides. Another thing that we will look at is the concept of similarity, which is somewhat the converse of the concept of distance. So if you're very distant from me, you're unlikely to be very similar in whatever reasonable feature space. And we'll see why it may be a better idea to use similarity as opposed to distance as the starting point for our analysis. Okay? And then basically, we plow on with recommender systems. I swear it's going to be the last lecture on recommender systems. Next week, we'll move on to clustering. But we'll formulate them in a slightly more advanced way. We'll look at a transpose problem, where instead of looking at similarity between the user and the critic, we look at similarities between different products and how to suggest a product to a user, rather than recommend based on the user. And then we'll move on to the concept of correlation, which I guess a lot of you have at least an intuitive idea of what it means, but we'll make it formal. Right, so that's our favorite matrix, okay? And that matrix, as I said, again, it summarizes the views of six US critics from prominent newspapers in the US about six different movies. Okay. What we saw last time was essentially, you know, the very simplest case where you have a query by a user who has only seen two movies. You know which scores the user has given to the movies. Well, then the simplest possible thing to do is essentially just plot the critics in the space defined by those two movies. So basically plot on the x-coordinate the score that critic, say, Morgenstern gave to Hancock, and the score on the y-axis that he gave to Revolutionary Road. Well, it doesn't seem to work very well, this laser pointer. Okay. And once you've got that, you can plot your user and see where it fits with respect to the various critics, and that gives you an idea of what, how similar the user is to a critic, how far in his own perception of the quality of the movies he is from the critics. Okay. And then we get an extra user that says, user two, for example, this is in three dimensions, now it becomes embarrassing to start drawing things in three dimensions, at least for the least artistically gifted, like myself. So we would like to start thinking, instead of just the immediate visual pattern that we could see in two dimensions, we would like to start thinking more quantitatively, okay? So what I'm going to do now, I've taken the trouble to write into a little MATLAB file. How many of you are familiar with MATLAB? Right, so okay, let's rephrase it in a more conservative way. How many of you have never used MATLAB? Bloody hell. Okay, well, I guess you will find this, welcome to MATLAB. And MATLAB is, I guess the purists wouldn't say it's a programming language, but it is a programming language. It's an environment for doing essentially computations, and it stands, the MAT stands for matrices, because it's very, very useful whenever you arrange data in matrices. And I believe, actually, in the course description, it says that one of the languages used in this course is MATLAB, so I'm not particularly upset about introducing you to MATLAB. But basically, all you have to know, it's a programming language. That's the kind of interface, command line interface. And there is a whole host of functions coded up in MATLAB for doing all sorts of numerical manipulations. And we'll just see a very few of them. So what I've done, I've created a little MATLAB file, is that movieexample.mat, which contains a matrix. So I'll load it up. Okay, and that you see in that corner there now, it tells me that I have a variable called crit movies, which critic scores of movies. And let's see what's in it. Okay, so there is this. These are the matrix containing, hopefully, unless I've messed up, it contains. It contains these. So each row corresponds to a critic, and its column corresponds to a movie, okay? Now we were told, okay, so, you know, if I wanted to reproduce this plot, okay, where we were looking at Hancock and Revolutionary Road, Hancock and Revolutionary Road are column 4 and 6, so all I would have to do is to just do the following plot. Crit movies. The column represents take the whole indices. That takes the fourth column. Okay, and now I'm just telling it to plot it as red crosses. Now, the difference here is that it's automatically set the axis to, you know, fit the data as best as possible. So the difference between this plot here and this plot here, although it does seem very different, it isn't very different at all, because
it's kind of rescaled it. So it starts from 4, the y-axis, because that's the lowest grade that has been given. And then, you know, they've added a little bit of padding to make it more visible, but it's exactly the same. So if I wanted to recreate that, that gives me an environment to do that. But now I'm interested in working with user 2. Okay, user 2 has seen 3 movies, Body of Lies, Burn After Reading, and Revolutionary Road. Okay. And I would like to work out the distance of user 2 from all the critics. Okay. Yeah. Which text can you not read? Okay, so there may be a way. Let's see, how does it work? Now, those of you, let's just try. This sometimes works. No, it doesn't. Product help. Does anyone know how to change the fonts displayed in MATLAB? Otherwise, you know, there's plenty of good open free spaces here at the front, so feel free to come. The fonts, is in it? Yes, so, okay, so you mean if I did this? The lens, you mean? But the lens works for the plots. So you have the plots.
No, now. I mean, it's not in MATLAB, it's in Mac. Like, you have, like, flexibility for people to see. You just can amplify, like, one portion of the screen.
If you hold Command and scroll up the window.
Okay, Control. Control, Command. Normally do it like this, don't you? But it doesn't work on MATLAB. It will work on other things. So if I did it here, it does. But in MATLAB, it doesn't seem to do it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit problematic. Anyway, there isn't anything particularly useful here, except that there is a, as you can see, there is a matrix of numbers. If you can't read the numbers, you have to trust me that, well, or maybe you don't trust me, but you can, you know, verify. I could put the MATLAB file on the, yeah, it's exactly the same as that matrix here, okay? Now, we had a user 2 that came along and said that he had seen 3 movies. Okay? Body of Lies, Burn After Reading, and Revolutionary Road, which are Body of Lies, Burn After Reading, and they are number 2, 3, and 6. Yep. And then instead of plotting it in 2D, because we can't do it anymore, MATLAB would actually allow you to plot it in 3D, but it's often not particularly illuminating a plot in 3D with MATLAB. So what we want to do is just to return the distance from every single critic. Okay? So to do that, what I'm going to do is to define an index vector, or let's say a reduced movie matrix. Okay. Okay, so what I've done, I've told it, take the matrix of the critics' scores, keep all the rows, because each row is a critic, but only keep columns 2, 3, and 6, which correspond to 3 movies that the user has seen. Okay, and now I'll do something horrible, I'll use a for loop, which, you know, they're very inefficient things, but, you know, we're not here for the subtleties of coding efficiently. But I'll say basically for j equals, let's first create a vector, user distances. I allocate it as a vector of zeros, six zeros. I start like that. And then I do a for loop. So I loop through the rows, the number, the critics, so the rows of the reduced matrix, and I compute the distance between the user ratings and the critics' ratings, okay? So this is, you know, one line of code. So my user ratings were 696. Okay, I store that in a vector user rating. And then I do my for loop. So sometimes mistakes happen in MATLAB, and it gives you a nice error message there, which normally you can't interpret, but in this case it was okay. So we will do user distances j. Okay, it's got six entries, so I loop through user distances. And I'm going to say that it's going to be the square root of user rating, or I could just say norm, I suppose, norm user rating minus red matrix. Okay, so what I'm doing here, I'm just taking my user ratings vector, which is a three-dimensional vector, which is the ratings of the user for those three movies. And I'm looking at the norm, Euclidean norm, which is hopefully the square root of the sum of the squares, between the user rating vector and each of the row vectors of this matrix. Okay, and each of the rows of this matrix corresponds to the vector of ratings given by a specific critic to that movie. Okay. Put a semicolon at the end, otherwise it keeps outputting what's going on, and then I have to close it. Okay. And then I can look at what these user distances are, and I get six numbers, as I was expecting, okay? So each of these numbers now correspond to the distance in movie scoring space between user two and critic. And how do we, I mean, this is the best we can do to estimate it, because, you know, the only thing we have to go about is the three scores on those three movies. And if we look for where the names of the critics, so we can basically start drawing some conclusions from this. For example, the user seems to be the furthest from the first critics, Bambi. That's perhaps not surprising, because the scores of the users were 696, and as you see, you know, it consistently scored lower the films that Bambi liked best. Okay. So this is just, you know, a very simple example of how we would proceed in practice in trying to determine how distant a user is from a critic, okay? So let's go back to the slideshow mode. Okay, so that's basically the result. And those numbers are seemingly correct to the ones that were appearing on the MATLAB screen, assuming you could read them. Otherwise, you take my word, I could read them and they seem to be the same numbers, okay? So that's all we could do. But I thought it may be useful for you to actually see how you would do it in practice, okay? So if you were given an actual large data set,
this is a perfectly feasible way. You know, if you're just looking at recommender system based on distances, you have to compute the distance based from every critic and then decide based on the smallest distance. Now, one simple question that we could have, okay, so suppose now we had a system where we have a number of critics which have given us their ratings, but they haven't all seen the same movies. Okay? So let's... let's use some good old-fashioned systems. Stop. A bit too much. Okay, so suppose you have, you know, your matrix of critics. It's a big matrix now because we're in the real world, and of course when you start looking at a lot of movies, they can't have seen all the movies and rated all the movies. So I'm going to put a star when there is an entry and leave it blank when there isn't an entry, okay? So it could look like something like this. And then, you know, it may be something like this. Let's just have three critics, otherwise I get extremely... Okay? So let's suppose that we haven't got all the ratings for all the movies. And now you get a user. So this would be movie 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, there are 9 movies. We get a user that has seen 2, 4, and 6. Now, how would you proceed? So how would you modify this system, okay?
You check the relevance of the ones that haven't been seen, so that if people have liked them and seen that people like...
Right, that's too complicated. Let's not do clever things. If you do clever things and you try to do them on a large scale, you frequently run in problems very quickly because if they require more advanced things. There's a trade-off between simplicity of algorithms and computational demands. This is a very, very simple algorithm because, you know, you just have to go through all the critics once and do one operation per critic.
You can delete critics, no?
We could delete critics. Who would you delete?
The ones that don't have 2, 4, and 6.
Right, so the ones that don't have 2, 4, and 6, that means we're left with critic 1.
Or
he's the only one with all three. Sorry? Delete some of the movies that don't have all the three ratings.
Yeah.
That's another option. We delete movies that don't have all the three. Oh,
delete the third one.
There is no movie with all the three ratings. Yep.
Find a small subset of the critics that together seen the same amount of the movies. For example, critic 1.
Yeah.
Critic 3. They both in what?
6. So you would keep 2 and 3.
Even so, they didn't see the same movie, but still, it would be a more bad.
So, I mean, the simplest solution would be just to, you know, piss off. I'm not going to tell you anything then because it doesn't fit my system. But that's a valid suggestion, the one of deleting some critics or deleting some movies. And that will actually work when you start to have a very, 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 very large set of critics, okay, where you could be reasonably sure that if you've got lots of critics and few movies, you can be sure that, you know, maybe you throw away five, but you're left with 195, and that's great. In this type of cases, I mean, another thing that we could do would be to, for each critic, you know, okay, so the first critic has seen 2, 4, and 6, so we can compute the difference, the distance of the three-dimensional vector. But the second critic has only seen 2, so we could just look at the difference between the rating of the critic and the rating of the user on that particular field. Could do that, couldn't we? And for critic 3, we could look at 6. So we could just use, for each critic, part of the information. Does that make sense? Sorry? That's another good suggestion. So we could complete the matrix by assigning some values. 5, maybe, or maybe is a good value. Maybe we could assign the mean score given by that critic to all the other movies. Or another thing we could do, and that goes towards the end of the lecture, and so I'll come back to this towards the end of the lecture, is something slightly more refined, which we can talk about later. But an immediate problem with the procedure that I suggested was the following. Do you think it is fair? So if I compute the distance from critic 1 and they've seen all the 3 movies, is it likely to be bigger, smaller, or indifferent to the distance from critic 2, which they've only seen 1 movie in common? It probably will be bigger because, you know, there is the distance between the scores on film 2 and the distance between the score on film 4 and the distance between the score on film 6. So, for example, it could be that they had only 1 point of difference on each movie with critic 1. So it's quite similar, but it gets the same score as with critic 2, with which there is a score difference of 3. So in some sense, we need to renormalize. For example, we could take what I said and divide by the number of movies that they've seen in common. Okay? So there are all sorts of digressions. But this is just to try to get you to think a little bit. If you were presented with a concrete problem, I mean, this seems rather artificial, and it is rather artificial. It's a very simple example to illustrate some concepts. But you can quickly build up to more realistic situations, and you could produce more sensible scenarios. And essentially, it would all boil down to slightly modifying my 2 lines of MATLAB, and you would get the same type of algorithm running through all the critics, only 1 computation per critic, 1 vector computation. Okay. Right. Now, as I said at the beginning of the lecture, today we're also going to, so far we've looked at distances, but maybe a convenient way to look, to approach these type of problems is by looking at similarity. And as I say, similarity in some sense is the opposite of a distance. Okay? A distance is a measure of dissimilarity, the greater the further. Similarity, the greater the closer. A common formula for the similarity is basically taking the inverse but adding 1. So why do we propose this formula? Okay? Why do we add 1? Right, we don't want to get to infinity. Okay? Now, why would it be probably, why could it be a better idea to use this sort of similarity as opposed to just using distance? Possibly it's easier to understand. But
the rating between 0 and 1?
Yeah, so that's the z between 0 and 1 is the other thing. So that's a nice thing, okay?
It's a nice thing computationally, because often we don't want to have to deal with very, very large numbers, particularly if then we have to divide by them. And it's a nice intuitive thing. You know, there is a ceiling to how similar you can be, that it's 1, and there is a floor to how dissimilar you can be, which is 0. On top of that, do you know of something else that is positive and between 0 and 1? Sorry?
Correlation.
Correlation. Can't you have negative correlation?
Yeah.
Right. But you're on the right track. Any other takers?
Probability.
Yes, that's a great one. So probability is between 0 and 1, okay? As we see, we can use these similarities to build up probabilities to some extent. Okay. Probability is something that runs through this thread of the course. Now, I could do exactly the same thing. Now, if I wanted to do it in MATLAB, all I would have to do is just go back to my MATLAB script. I still have my user distances, and I just need to do user similarities equals to 1 plus user distances okay, so I'm using that, if you can't see, it's dot to, and hat means exponentiation to the power. If you put a dot, it means it does it element by element for a vector, okay? Otherwise, it would give me an error. And I get the user similarities directly with the line of code.
What
is
there?
Sorry?
I missed what you said a second ago with dot.
Right, that's a MATLAB comment. So here, to exponentiate, I have to invert the number to get from a distance to a similarity. I have to add 1 and then invert.
Okay.
Now I want to do it for the whole vector at the same time without having to do a for loop again. So exponentiation to the minus 1, which is the same as inversion, is done by using the little hat thing. If I want to do it on a vector, element by element, or on a matrix element by element, I have to put a dot before the little cap. Because otherwise, if you were doing it on a square matrix, it would interpret it as the matrix inversion. Okay? If you put the dot, it does the inversion element by element. Okay, so this is a very simple, you know, one-line command to go from distances to similarities. Possibly interestingly, I mean, the way we approach similarities is defined in terms of distances, though. So in general, given a feature vector, the simplest thing to compute is this distance, and then you can transform to similarity, which may be more appropriate. Okay, and that's how I presume was done to generate this table, and we get the same numbers. So now we are in a position to produce a simple recommender system, and the way we could do it, for example, is we can not only judge what is the critic that is closest and take the highest, but we could predict a score for the new user. Okay, how could we do that? Well, we get a bunch of similarities, and then we can come up with a slightly more engaging formula, which I've seen has not failed to impress the ladies in the first row, so that's great. And what do we do? Okay, so we have a bunch of scores from the critics, okay? So we have an item Z, which is a movie, Z, and we have score I, score from critic I, given to item Z. Now I have the similarity, I've computed my similarity between the user and each of the critics. So all I'm doing here is taking a weighted sum. Okay? So I'm looking at the scores. So if I'm very similar to one critic, what I'm saying is I should give a bigger weight to the score given by that critic. But I should not completely neglect other critics unless my similarity is absolutely zero. So unless I'm really, really far from them. And what's the advantage of doing this? What's an advantage of doing this weighted average as opposed to just looking at the critic I'm closest and using his score? What do you think is an advantage of looking at this kind of weighted average as opposed to just trusting one critic? Yeah. So, you know, maybe there is another critic which you're very close to. So you're also similar to someone else. You're not so identical to one person, but you're also similar to other people. You want to maintain that information somehow. And a natural way to do that is to combine the scores of all the critics weighted by their similarities. Now, to the person that said that probabilities are also between 0 and 1, now look at this thing. Okay, I'm taking the similarity, which is between 0 and 1, and then I'm dividing by the sum of all the similarities. So I could very well view this, since the pointer doesn't really work, I could very well view the coefficient given to the score of critic I. That coefficient is similarity between U and I divided by the sum of all the similarities between the user and all the critics, sum over J, okay? I call this PI. It is between 0 and 1, okay? Because this is greater than 0, these are all greater than 0. Okay, and of course these are greater than that, so that's smaller than 1. But also, if I sum all the PIs, I get the denominator divided by the denominator, so it is actually 1. So in some sense, I could interpret that as the probability that the user is actually critic I. Okay? So in some sense, I've moved on to probabilities. The way, if I were looking in terms of slightly more advanced machine learning, I would say I'm taking a mixture of critics approach. So I'm saying each user is drawn from one of the critics and is basically obtained by blending together the various critics. From the data I have, I can estimate the coefficient, so which proportion of each critic I need to pour in the cauldron in order to magic out the user. Okay.
So that's a nice formula. And it was good that the ladies were impressed in the first line, because it is a nice formula. And it's very nicely interpretable. But it allows us to do a lot more. Okay? It allows us to predict a score for the user, which is not something we could do a priori. Okay? Before, we could only say how distant a user was from a critic. And in this way, for example, and I'm not going to go to my MATLAB now anymore, but I could use that formula to estimate the scores that user 2 would give to the three other movies. And then at that stage, I can really look and say, go and watch Milk, because that's the one that comes up with the highest score. If I were going to do the same thing in the previous approach, so just look at the critic you're closest to, well, I would have said you are most similar to this person, Puig, here. And what did Puig say? Well, Puig said that Milk was very good, or everyone said that Milk was very good, but also gave high marks to other movies, so it may not have been so conclusive. Okay? And you could certainly engineer systems where the weighted score that we predict is highest for the movie that is not necessarily the highest rated by the closest critic. So in some sense, this would allow for a smoother prediction, smoothing out some of the noise, and is a preferable design for a simple recommender system. Okay,
so this is exactly how it would work. You know, compute the distances, turn them into similarities, use that formula, which is again, you know, one line of MATLAB or maybe a for loop, and then select the highest predictive score for recommending the next item. Right, so the first question was the one I'd gone to before. What if not all critics had seen the same movies?
Yeah, that's what we were saying, but it was what we were mulling about. You know, we could think along these lines. Now, the other question, what if some critics consistently rate more highly than others? Okay. And that's something we may have some evidence of. Or rather, we may have some evidence of the opposite phenomenon, because, for example, this guy, Morgenstern, is rather stern in his judgments of movies. And while other critics, like Travers, you know, it's given a string of eights and nines and tens, and 1.5 to Australia, which must have been a really bad movie. It is conclusive evidence now. So how would we solve that problem? Okay. Yep. Right, so you would say throw away Travers, for example, because he's too generous. He clearly likes everything and he's in the payroll of all movies.
Just normalize.
Just normal.
Because the most of the critics who are really keen on putting good marks in there, keeping all the marks in the one end of the. They're putting more tens and eights and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right. So we had some more takers here.
Yeah, I had a question.
Oh dear.
Why is that exactly?
I wanted answers, not questions. Come on.
Why
is it a problem? Well, why is it a problem? Maybe you give high ratings. So if you're also very generous, then maybe it's not a problem. Yeah, I mean, I guess that could be a valid answer. Maybe it's not a problem. But some people seem to think it may be a problem. If you like one film, well, if we only had that critic, yes, that would be a problem. Yes, I guess that is true. But I mean, if you had a sufficiently large number, I mean, this is what is called an outlier in some sense, okay? Someone that's behaving very different from the rest of the population. Now, if it turns out that you are also an outlier, then that's fine. But on the other hand, you see, even Mr. Travers, or Mrs. Travers, or Miss Travers, hasn't consistently liked all the movies in exactly the same way. So you could be very similar to Travers in the sense that you think Body of Lies, Burn After, and Hancock are exactly the same, pretty much of a muchness, but Milk is significantly better, Australia is a lot worse. So you could be very similar, but you could rate things in a more, let's say, less generous way, and then you would be very far. And then that would be a problem. But it's true, if you're very generous, but if you are Travers, then it's fine to be Travers. You know, if you're really close, and there is no problem with that. But if we want, what I'm driving at is that really what we're interested in is not the actual numerical scores, but it's how they vary across the various movies. Yes, that's a very good suggestion. But there is still the problem, which was the second half of the question, that some critics have a much broader range. Okay. So for some critics, you know, for Morgenstern, you know, bad really means bad. He's not going to give a 3. He's giving a 0. So he's one of those guys that you go, you know, it must be a great reviewer to read because, you know, they often come up with really interesting personal comments on the actors or the review or the directors and stuff like that. But you see what I mean? So you could shift all by the mean and make sure that they all have the same mean. And that would make sense, okay? But there is also this issue about the variation being bigger. And that brings us to the concept of correlation. Okay, which is towards the end. That's exactly how we deal with those problems, okay? That's what you were saying. You know, we compute the mean across a critic. Computers mean and the standard deviation, and then we look at the correlation. So we're going to look at the mean is what tells us what's the average mark that the critic gives. Okay? So that removes the problem of one critic scoring always high. The standard deviation, which is given by this formula, which you probably have seen previously, is essentially how much you deviate from the mean. So what is your range? Okay, I found out what's your mean, but you may deviate a lot, or you may be very close. In that after that stage, you can transform the critic score so that they have a zero mean, and they have what is called a standardized range of 1, standard deviation 1. And that's done by that expression. So when you transform the data to obtain the Z, when you obtain the Z, at that stage, you've made sure that your critics are all exactly comparable because their mean score is 0. And the way they vary about the mean score is with standard deviation 1. And at that stage, it makes sense to look at the patterns of deviation from the mean. So once we have that, the sensible thing to do would be to compute what is called the correlation, which is given by that formula. Okay? So this is the procedure for removing those two issues, okay? We take the mean and we subtract it, okay? That's done there. And we divide by the variation about the mean, the standard deviation. That gives us a new set of scores for each critic, for each movie. And then the correlation is given by taking the user's normalized set of scores. So you have to do the same thing for the user as well. You have to subtract the mean value that the user has given and normalize by the range of values that the user has given. And then you compute the correlation coefficient. Now, that is neither a similarity nor a distance. It is closer to a similarity because at most it can be 1. But it can also be negative, so it's not between 0 and 1. So it is not a similarity. It's a correlation. But you can use it if you want. You can transform it into a similarity by using a standard transformation. For example, adding 1/2, adding 1/2, and dividing. Okay. So this would be the way you deal with similarities, or with rank, with means, and with different ranges between the critics. Now, we've got to the end of today. One thing that I haven't gone through, but it's very clearly explained in the notes, is the transpose problem. Now, why do we call it the transpose problem?
Okay, this time, instead of being interested in me and the user being similar to a critic, we're interested in finding a product that is similar to a product. So we're interested in finding it. We're given another movie that has been evaluated by some critics and find it how similar it is to a certain movie, so that when we, to the other movies, so that when we have a user that has seen a movie, has seen the new movie, we can recommend one new movie for this user from the database of movies for which we have reviews. It's exactly the same problem, but it's called a transpose problem because essentially, instead of being dealing with the rows of the column of the matrix, which were our critics, we're going to deal with the columns of the matrix, which are our products. Instead of having a new user that has seen some movies, we want to find the distance from the critics. We get an object that has been, a new object that has been reviewed by some users. And then we go back to the database of objects that we have that have been reviewed by the same users and try to pick out the object that is more similar to the new query object so that we can recommend a new purchase in this way. In practice, probably this last part about normalization and correlation was the most important part of today's lecture. Okay? That's where most of the intellectual content was, at least in my opinion. So we've looked at distance-based recommender systems. We've then come up with similarity-based recommender systems, which have the added bonus of being able to predict the score on the unseen items. But then we've reasoned through it and found out that there may be problems because there may be large distances, even if our pattern of liking and disliking is very similar to a critic. And to address that, we need to standardize by removing the mean and normalizing. And in that case, the most natural object to look at is the Pearson correlation coefficient, or is a correlation coefficient, if you prefer. There are other correlation coefficients, but that's the one that you would most naturally use. Okay. So, any questions on this? The first tutorial sheet will be about these things, and it will be in, not next week, but the following week, I think, is the first learning tutorial.
Are you using more ideas for correlation instead of this one? Like different techniques?
Yeah, there is things called Spearman correlation.
The time in which you reach a solution will be affected largely or not? Or why don't we use more recommender systems and try to improve them?
Oh, well, we do try to improve them.
But it will take more time. So is it more important to give a more accurate or a faster solution? Or it depends on the case?
Not so much as faster. Sometimes, you know,
I'm not sure. because you don't mind being.
What kind of clusterization algorithms or ideas you are going to tell us?
Sorry, what kind
of? What kind of clusterization?
Clustering.
Algorithms here.
Clustering. I think we're going to look at k-means.